Happy Mother's Day to all you moms out there. If you're like me, all you want for Mother's Day is a good haircut. And if you are like me at all, maybe you've already toyed with the idea of cutting your own hair. It's not a good idea, at least not for me. I decided to cut pandemic bangs, and it's not good. I had to spray a lot to keep them out of my eyes, and they're not even. But worse, I watched a tutorial, and I thought, well, I can do that. Now, granted, the person on the tutorial is a trained, licensed hairstylist. But I thought, you know, I might be able to do that. About 2 minutes in, I was done. Like, I'm not going to pick up layers all over my head and I don't have patience for that. Therefore, it's hard to blow dry your hair when you know you're going to be on tape and there is no rhyme or reason to anything about your hair. Like, the layers are long and short and a little beveled, because I thought I might try that a little bit here and there. I don't even know what beveled is, but I saw it on the tutorial. It's just not working really for me. So I hope that soon all of us moms get to go and get a real haircut, just real soon. And I know that probably all you dads and kids out there are really thinking ahead, planning, where are we going to take mom for Mother's Day? Front yard, the backyard, maybe the patio, maybe curbside pickup, maybe drive-through. There's a lot of options. It's kind of a crazy, crazy time we're living in, right? And I cannot even imagine living through COVID-19 quarantine with the Espinoza children. I'm imagining with Chase, Chance, Chandler, and Charlie, just some not good outcomes, like when Chance, Charlie's middle brother, took the black Sharpie and wrote across Charlie's forehead, "I will not disrespect my brother." Or when Chandler did a little tactile experience with strawberry yogurt and slathered it from head to toe and said, "Look, Mom, it's like Thunth Green." Or when Chase decided to do artwork on the wall in marker, and I walk in and find it, and I said, "Chase, you do not draw on the wall with marker. You do not draw on the wall with marker. Only on paper. Only on paper. You only draw on paper." A short time later, I walked into a room to see Chase busily drawing away with a marker, drawing away. Only on paper, only on paper, only on paper. And it was my Bible. Or Charlie, like when she walked into the bathroom where Grandma Sherry was, she's like 4 years old, not Grandma Sherry, Charlie. She walks over and deposits a pile of dried dog poop in Grandma Sherry's hand as if it were like a treasure. Those are the kinds of things I'm imagining that would occur if the Espinoza children were living through COVID-19 quarantine right now. I salute all of you for raising kids right now. Wow. And speaking of wow, do you know what wow upside down spells? Spells mom. Wow, as in, how can one person do all that laundry in one day? And wow, how can one person with one hand get all the poop off that bottom in one swipe? Just one swipe. One wipe is all you got left. It's all you need. Swipe it around and up the middle and you're done. One swipe. Wow. How is that possible? And wow, did you know that in the middle of your wiping noses and changing diapers and juggling work and homework and groceries and all of the things, all of the mom things and all of the life things, do you know that you hold a sacred space in the lives of your kids? You are the one, the mom. And I know that firsthand because when I was 18, I lost my mom to lung cancer. And although I always appreciated my mom, loved my mom, when I lost her, I realized this is what that mom shape is in my life. And I would give anything to have her back, to go through life with me, with my kids. I wish that early on I had known, before I lost my mom, this person is going to influence you for the rest of your life. You don't know. When you're young, you love your mom, but you don't know. And the things I've gleaned from her, things that I still live out with my own children. And when I lost my mom, what happened was a seed was planted in me that's followed me through every season of life, from being a young wife to the birth of my first child to all of the milestones for myself and for my kids, my oldest getting married, my youngest about to go off to college, or maybe just to the next room to log in if UCLA doesn't start in the dorms in the fall. But through all of those seasons, I've just had this passion for encouraging moms, because I know what it's like to learn to live life without my mom. So this Mother's Day 2020, I hope that you grasp the significance of who you are as a mom. I hope that today you give yourself a huge pat on the back. I hope that you give yourself grace for the things that you may not have done so well. I hope that you allow others to celebrate you, and I hope you celebrate yourself. Because mom, wow, you hold a high calling. What you do is of the utmost significance. I hope you get that today. And I also want to acknowledge that there are probably some of you for whom today is just hard to be in. Maybe you are wrapped in grief. Maybe you've lost your own mom recently, or maybe a child. Maybe you're struggling with a difficult relationship with an adult child. Life's challenges don't take a day off for Mother's Day. But I want you to know that God sees you, and he grieves with you. And I wish I could reach through cyberspace and just give you a huge hug. I just want you to know you're not alone. Adulting is hard. Being grown up is hard, especially right now in the middle of all of this. It's just difficult. Do you remember when you were little? When you were like 5 and you would say, "I'm 5 and a half," when people would ask you how old you were. And then you grew up and they'd ask you how old you were, and you stopped adding that little half, and then you kept growing and you're older and older. Now you're grown up and you definitely do not add half to anything. And now you just want to be little again, right? Especially now, wouldn't it be great to just go back and be little? And I want to propose today that maybe we can, and further, maybe we should. Jesus said in Matthew 19:14, "Let the little children come to me, and don't hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." And in Matthew 18:3, he says, "Unless you become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of God." When my youngest son Chandler was little, with his cute little dimples and he had a little lisp, I said to him, "Chandler, I don't want you to grow up. I just want you to stay little." And he responds, "Mom, that's the point." And therein lies a paradox of the kingdom of God. The point is to grow up. We know that. To grow up in our faith, to demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit in our everyday life, to grow up in our DNA, that it expands continually for more capacity to be Christ-like. So what do we do with this dichotomy of what we know to be the point and this exhortation from Jesus to be like a child, to be all grown up and little? I'm not a Bible scholar, but I do know two or three things about children. And if I ask myself, what can I learn from children about living into this ethos of the kingdom of God? About three things come to mind. Three things, because it wouldn't be a sermon in church if there weren't three things. And I do apologize that it's not an acronym. But here are the three things that come to mind when I think, what is it about childlikeness that helps me live into the kingdom reality? First of all, have you ever seen a kid eat ice cream? Or maybe in these days, like vegan, probiotic frozen yogurt, something like that. They just eat that ice cream. They're just there. Nothing else matters. They feel the cold on their lips and they taste the sweetness on their tongue. And the only thing that matters in that moment is the magnificent taste experience before them. Or a kid on a swing. Have you watched? They just throw their heads back and smile and laugh and feel the wind in their face. And really all that matters is the up and the back and the forward and to feel like they're flying. That's all that matters. Kids don't yet know that you have a to-do list and that you build your life around that to-do list. That really, while you're swinging, you should be strategizing about how to climb up on the counter later and grab cookies out of the cookie jar. They don't know that yet. So they're there with the ice cream, or they're there in the swing. I've always been a person who wants to accomplish things. I like to check off my to-dos. I like to have goals, and I always want to be moving toward goals. And how many of you realize when you became a parent that having kids does not enhance your ability to necessarily be productive? And I'll tell you that it took me probably about 3 years, 4 years into parenting to finally kind of grasp the idea that maybe I should just go with it. Maybe checking off things on my to-do list and really just being just bent on all of the things I need to accomplish, maybe that's not allowing me to live in this moment. To live in this moment. And when I finally decided, maybe I'll go with this. Maybe I'll go with this whole what parenting really brings to me. When I really got that, it changed everything. So much so that I ended up writing a book called Days of Wine and Noses, Pep Talks for Tuckered Out Moms. It has 52 little bite-sized chapters about what I learned in just the everyday moments of mothering, like potty training and teething. And one of the things that I wrote is in the chapter on runny noses, I wrote, by living with one foot poised anxiously on tomorrow, we rob ourselves of the ability to live truly in today. When we learn to live in this present moment, it enhances our lives. It makes our lives richer. But we're not the only ones that benefit. Our kids know if we're not really there. Our spouses know. Our friends know. They know if we're just shaking our head. But in our minds, in our thoughts, in our hearts, we're far away. I want the people that I love the most to know that when I'm with them, I'm with them. In that moment. And I don't always get it right. I try. I'm willing to live with some regrets. I know that I'm human and I will have regrets. What I'm not willing to live with are regrets because I just was not willing to learn the art of being in the moment with the people that I love. To be here today. My middle son, Chance, when he was little, one time he came up to me and said, Mom, is this today or is this tomorrow? And what I want to clarify for us today is, this is today. The one that we get. The one that we get to live in right now. So let's see today how many moments we can find to just settle into and just be there with the people we love and to be there with the God who created us, to just be in this moment right now. The second thing, as I think about living into the kingdom in this childlikeness that Jesus talks about, is to trust someone bigger and wiser. When my son Chance was in about second grade, he witnessed a fight on the way to school, and everybody involved had to write a letter. This is Chance's letter. "I feel terrible about what happened in that fight. I wish I'd never joined in that fight. I should have run away to be safe. I had never been this rotten. The thing I hate the most is that I got a citation, and I hate it because everyone's looking at me and asking what happened, and I just say, it's none of your business. I don't like citations because I don't want to get in trouble because my mom will ground me from TV. My life is cruel because I always beat up my little brother. I hate my life. I need someone even wiser than my parents. I don't know how to stop it." And how many of us have ever been there? I need somebody wiser and bigger. I don't know. I don't have all the answers. I don't know how to do what's in front of me. So how do we live into the childlikeness of the kingdom that Jesus tells us about? We admit we need someone bigger and wiser. Jesus said, "I'm the vine, you're the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing." And in this analogy, what he's saying is, trust me. I am your someone bigger and wiser, and I've got you. In the Bible, we learn about a king named Solomon who prayed this prayer in 1 Kings 3:7. "Oh God, you've made me king in place of my father David, but I'm only a little child, and I don't know how to carry out my duties. Give me an understanding heart so that I can discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern these people of yours?" Does that sound familiar? "God, I don't know how to raise these kids you gave me. Give me discernment. Did he hit her or did she hit him? Why is my teenager not speaking to me? How do I let go?" So many things about parenting, about life, that we throw up our hands and say, "I don't know. I need someone bigger and wiser. For the people that I love, especially my kids, I want to fix it. I don't want them to hurt. If there's any way to make things better, I want to do that. And I've never come face to face with my own helplessness, my own inability to fix things more than last year. On January 1st, my youngest son, Chandler, died. I would have given anything to fix it. I would have given anything to take away the pain for my other kids. Last year at this time, I did not know how I was going to get through Mother's Day. At a time when every year Chandler would scrawl some unique Chandler words on a card or a letter and give them to me, and it would always end with this: I love you, Mom. Chandler. My only hope was that there was someone bigger who had me. When I was little, my family traveled a lot, and we would stay at motels wherever we'd go. We'd sightsee a lot, and I would always go out and make new little friends, little playmates. I was probably 6 years old, seven at the time, and I ran back into our motel room, and I said, "Daddy, this little girl said something to me, and it made me mad, and I told her, my daddy can beat up your daddy." And that was like the ultimate smackdown words right there, and my dad was mortified. He said, "Lisa, her dad's neck is as wide as a barn. He is a football player." Didn't matter to me because I knew my daddy was big and strong and he would always take care of me. And what I learned through my life, what was confirmed to me last year, is that my heavenly father is bigger and stronger and wiser, and he will take care of me. I want to say that I know little is not a safe place for everyone. And we grown-ups walk around with walls a mile high around our hearts and stone cold because little was not safe. And we don't think we can trust. But I want to encourage you to believe what the psalmist said when he said, trust in God all the time. Pour your heart out to him. God is our refuge. He is a good father. God is a good father. You can trust him because his heart is good. He's bigger. He's wiser. And you can trust him. And last, when my kids were little, we used to play a game. I'd ask, why do I love you so much? And they'd just say, because I'm your kid. And that's about the sum of it. That's it. And if they had thought anything different, if they had thought, well, because I cleaned my room, because I made good grades, because I was a good boy or good girl today, that would have broken my heart. But to know, I just love you because you're my kid. There's a saying that if God had a wallet, your picture would be in it. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you are loved unconditionally, no strings attached? Whether you had a good mom day, a bad mom day, a good dad day, a bad dad day, bad day at work, good day at work, doesn't matter. God just loves you. You can't do anything to expand that love or contract that love because God is in essence love. He just is love. What I want you to hear and rest in today, if we are to truly live into this kingdom childlikeness, is accept that unconditional love like a child that just opens your arms and says, God, you just love me because I'm your child, just because I'm your kid. I know you love me. And I think there's probably not an area that we struggle more with than just allowing ourselves to be loved by the one that created us and knows us best. Imagine the person or the people that you love most in the world. And now imagine that there's a love even greater than that. And now imagine that you are the object of that greater love. Now listen to this. In all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor things present, nor future, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in all creation, not even COVID, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And in Psalms, I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. And in 1 John, see what great love the Father has for us, that we should be called the children of God. He loves us because we're his kids. How does it feel to just sit with that? Maybe just take that with you into today and let it marinate in your soul. Whether you believe it or receive it or not, it doesn't change the reality. God's love for you is immeasurable and unshakable. You're a grown-up every day. You do grown-up things. You are adulting. You go to work. You balance the budget. You pretend to know the answers to the calculus homework that you're trying to help with. You try to make nutritious meals on a shoestring. You attend to adult-sized problems and experience grown-up-sized troubles. Have you ever, like Solomon, cried out, God, I don't know all the answers. I need your help. I need someone bigger and wiser. In the face of all that we are in the middle of today, all of our challenges, in the middle of personal pain or injustice or the death of a child or the destruction of a dream, when questions stir at the depths of our souls, it's hard to be grown up. And today I invite you to take a deep breath and settle into the strong arms of someone bigger and wiser and someone that says to you now, you are here and you are safe. It's safe to be all grown up and little.